I'm going to need some volunteers in a little bit. I'm going to do what I call a living diagram, because I'm talking about the flood story. And we talked about the flood story last week, but there are two sentences that we have to cover, both of them, the great messages of the flood story. Last week, what was the message? What was the words? God remembered Noah, right? So he remembers us in our times of difficulty and floods. Well, today I want to focus on this scripture, 7 verse 1, where God looks at Noah and says, I have found you righteous in this generation. Okay, so that's the scripture we're really going to focus in on these three chapters of the flood. I have found you righteous in this generation. Now, it says God's interest in having a covenant with Noah. Do you remember that? Just read it. It was read a little while ago by Pastor Bill. And it talks about a covenant. God was going to create this relationship, this binding contract to Noah and to his three sons and their three wives and also his wife. So there are Noah, and then there are seven others. And then it says in chapter 7, verse 1, I found you righteous in this generation. Who's righteous? All of them? All eight? You can't tell in English, can you? I found you righteous in all the generations. In Hebrew, you can. The Hebrew word here is atah, singular. I have found you righteous, Noah. Where did these seven people come from, and how did they get on the ark? Well, we're going to do a diagram here. We need the vials. The vials, come on up. We're going to diagram the story now. Just like when we went through the prodigal son story, there is a structure here. And part of it is probably because they memorized the stories. For generations, the stories are panned down, and many times they had memory devices. But also, it's how they wrote, and it's how they showed something important. Now, look at the sheet that you got. You should have gotten a sheet with the structure of this story. Now, Art, I want you to come and stand right here, okay? What's happening in that first section? By the way, do you see A, B, C, D, E going this way? And then, by the way, what's going to happen is, then we're going to go the other direction. The beginning of the story is going to be very similar to the end of the story. The second part, there's another second part. Third part, third to the end. Fourth to the end. And then there's something special in the middle. Kind of makes you want to just jump to the middle, doesn't it? Okay, so what's going on? It says God saw human wickedness, right? God saw human wickedness. It says that there was wickedness, there was corruption, and there was violence, and God saw it. It says two times God saw these things. Now, what I want you to do is you're going to be God's. Art, you got a promotion. Now, and if you can put these in without using your hand, I used to be able to do that. You're just going to have to look through it. And you're looking down at people on earth, and you're seeing violence and corruption, and he sees, okay? The sin doesn't go unnoticed. Okay, down, you got to come way over here, Charlie. Oh, I need two more cups. I think I forgot them over here. Guess what? At the end of the story, God sees something twice. What does he choose to see? And you can come all the way down here and do the same thing. So I just got old eyes. There we go. Okay. You can just hold them or do what you want. Now, what does God see at the end of the story? God chooses to see the rainbow, right? He chooses not to see human sin. Human sin doesn't stop, but he chooses to see something that God put in the sky. I got goosebumps there just because you know where this is going, right? Were you taught this? The Old Testament's law. The New Testament is? It's Reformation Day, talking about the grace of God, and I'm stuck in Noah? Are you kidding me? You're going to be surprised at what Noah has to tell us. Okay, what's the second part? Let's see. I am looking for my glasses. Oh, see, you got my glasses. The second part of the story, what we find is that there is a vow to destroy the earth. Now, I need Kim and Karsten, could you come on up here? I know that you guys are married with rings that one of you can take off, right? They're not both stuck, are they? This is very important, by the way. In this part of the story, God vows to destroy the earth. Okay, there's judgment. So Karsten, why don't you come over here? Can you take your ring off? Okay, just show them your hand. And you've got a ring over here. There's this relationship that stopped because of sin. The covenant is over. This old covenant that he had established before, now he's going to establish a new one, is over. Kim, why don't you come over here? And then you're the second to the end of the story. And you show them your ring. Okay, there's a new covenant, right? He vows to destroy the earth. He vows never to destroy the earth and enters into another covenant with them. Now, I need two more. If you two want to come forward, you already, they're pre-approved. And if Paul, you want to stand here? Well, I need you over here. So it's, you're going to face this way because at this point, there's a command. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're a carpenter. Come over here. It says a command to build the ark, right? A command to build the ark. So here's your tool. She represents when God said, should I be scared here? When God said, build an ark. That's what it symbolizes. What happens in this part of the story is God commands them to build a family. Go and multiply, right? Go and multiply. Build a family. There you go. Now, we need two more. Volunteers, you've volunteered beforehand. Would you mind coming up? And then you can stand here in this part of the story, and you're going to stand in the fourth part of the story, right? The fourth part of the story, it's a command to enter the ark. So face this way. And just walk. Pretend you're walking. Okay, you're going in the ark. Now you are, the command of God at this point in the story is to go out of the ark, to leave the ark. So you're just going to march in place. And keep going, you know, we're going to lose calories here. You got the great spot because you don't have to do your workout later in the day. Okay, I need two more volunteers. Two volunteers. You can miss one church in the next month. Come on up, you guys. Okay, good. I want you over here. Okay, and you guys come up there. You stand here, Paula. Yeah. Now, what's going on in this part of the story? Floods cover the earth. So I want you to, you don't have an umbrella, so put this over your head like you're protected from the rain, okay? Now that's at the second part, right? But here is when the floods come. So you are actually, no, here the rain starts and the floods come. The heavens open up the gates and they flood. So you put that up because you're being rained on. You take yours down and go like this because the rain has stopped. You can't see, This is intentional, by the way, y'all. This is an ancient writing structure, and it reveals something. So floods cover the earth, floods leave the earth. And if you look at these parts of the story, they say the same things about going above the mountains, the floodgates open, then here the floodgates stop, and the mountains are seen, and so forth. So Noah and his family are out on the ark for 7 months. 40 days of rain, but 7 months, 5 to 7 months. And it's not a pleasant thing. They've lost everything, but that's last week's sermon, right? Now I need seven people. I need seven people. Can you, that whole roll come? Come on up. And come on up here. Stand here. This is the ark, by the way. God remembered Noah. This is the center of the story, which was last week's sermon. You stand right here, and then you in front of him, and then you in front of her, and then you on one step. Then you are down on the ground, and you, Dan, over here. Okay, now, in the story, just for time's sake, I'll be the righteous one, Noah. Why don't you come over, come here, Dan. Stretch out a little bit. Okay, right, a little further, right there. Okay. Now, what do we have? We have the story of the ark, but we have our story, right? And by the way, again, if you don't see your face on the characters of the Old Testament, you're going to miss the whole point. That's why many of us don't want to read it. We don't understand that our life is at stake here. There is a covenant with God that's broken, right? First of all, he sees human sin. There is judgment. There are consequences to our sin. So he begins to work towards saving the sinners, right? He sees the sin, But he commands a man to build an ark with his three sons and then go into the ark. He's trying to save them, correct? He's trying to save them immediate salvation because the floods are coming. The floods come, and then you got these seven characters. Like I said last week, it's not Ginger, Marianne, Gilligan, and Professor, and the captain. It's not those guys. These are the seven family members of Noah, okay? I'm righteous. Now, remember I said it's singular, isn't it? It's atah. I have found you righteous in all this generation. I'm the righteous guy. So my question is, how do these guys get passage on the ship? Illegally, right? There are seven here, unrighteous people. Why? How were they saved? Oh boy, this is just blending into Reformation. I got chills again. This is gospel in the Old Testament. Seven people are saved because of one righteous man's deeds and by what he did with wood. Noah created salvation through the ark, Jesus Christ through the cross. This is prophetic. They didn't know that. They didn't sit down and think this is going to happen. They didn't know all these details. But God has these prophetic events that happen, and it's clear in the Old Testament. It's pointing to the righteous one. We are saved by grace through faith. You all are saved because of the coattails of Jesus Christ. Is that right? And we right now are in a building, a room called the nave. Latin from navis for ship. We are in a ship right now. Are we righteous or are we Noah? Are we righteous and Noah? Or are we Noah? I remember having a guest preacher come and he was preaching. I was in the front row and he was preaching about this story and he kept saying, we got to be like Noah, righteous, good, right, all, you know, completely just. I was just slipping down in my chair pew like this going, the weight was too much for me. See, the weight is too much for humanity. There's no way we can get over here. When the cross comes, oh, it makes a cross. Well, that's interesting. That's not intended. I just want to show this. This is after the cross. This is before the cross. Judgment. There's consequences. There's a broken relationship. This side of the cross, we've got the water abating. The judgment's going away now. And we have God wanting to build a new relationship. And there's a new vow. He'll never destroy the earth, even if we're wicked, through water. And he chooses to see the rainbow. Who's the rainbow in the story? Jesus Christ. God has chosen not to look at sin anymore. We didn't get any better from the beginning to the end of the story, but God, he chose to see something else. God does not see our sin if we're in Christ. He chooses to see the cross. He chooses to see Jesus Christ. Why don't you give these guys a hand? You guys can sit down. Thank you all. Isn't that cool? Now, again, these are ancient structures. This is every culture has the way they write and so forth. But last week we talked about God remembered Noah. That's not so impossible to understand its benefit today. God also remembers us. Right? Our sin has put us on a ship that has no control whatsoever. We are drifting with no rock out there to land on. Noah sent the doves, first the raven, then the dove, and then the dove a second time, and he looked out and he couldn't see anything. He couldn't see the rock that he was looking for. Some place where they could land again and they could be well. He looked and he looked, and he couldn't find it. Now let's move to Ephesians. Let's go to the New Testament, right? Because that's the gospel. The Old Testament's law. Now, by the way, what's the truth? Truth of the matter is Old Testament is law and gospel. New Testament's law and gospel. There is judgment. Some people are aghast at that. You know, how can there be a hell? How can there be judgment? God just lets everybody in. Well, you know, that would make us more just than God. Because we don't do that. We don't allow somebody who's involved with sex slavery, with teenagers or even younger girls. We don't allow them. Oh, no, it's fine. Everybody's good. We're more just than God, if that's true, that everybody gets into heaven. No, this story, as well as the New Testament, talks about judgment, but God is on it. He is doing everything he can to remedy that situation. Now, listen to Ephesians 2 and see how this reflects on the Noah story. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms. Past tense, seated us in the heavenly realms, where we're seated because we're not walking around doing something to add to what Christ has done. Because salvation is by good works, but it's by Jesus' good works, right? And we get on the ark, we come into this building today, which is, this is the nave, we come into this ship, and we come humbly in here, looking for mercy, looking for a God who's going to forgive us, and we find it in the Noah story. Isn't that great? We are saved, we've always been saved by grace through faith. It's never been by our works, it's by the work of God. So God raised us up with Christ and seated us. Past tense. We are in the heavenly realms, which means spiritually speaking, we are sitting, because all we do is watch what God does, and it's past tense. It's a done deal. In order that in the coming ages he might show us incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It's a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But that's after we receive the grace of God. Wow, who would have thought it? The Old Testament in Genesis particularly is just an amazing book. Maybe, you know, think about reading it sometime again. It's 50 chapters, but you have to see yourself in it. Today we were in the ship, but we're not the ita. We're not the you. Jesus is the you, and I don't know about you, but I'm just clinging to the seams of Jesus' gown. I mean, just like that woman did. I am just here today, and everything depends on Jesus. And when we leave, it's going to be by grace. We are saved by grace. We're saved by grace. If you're not in the kingdom yet or in faith yet, just know that Christ went to the cross for you. He took wood like Noah, and he did something that's going to save you. And if you're in faith today, just know, just rejoice and celebrate. That it's by grace you're saved. Rock of Ages Cleft for Me is a great Christian hymn, and I think it summarizes Reformation Day. Rock of Ages Cleft for Me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin, could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, mine eyelids, when my eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen.